Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I recall an occasion from my distant youth, not quite so distant, mind you, as for some of you, but distant enough. Anyway, on this distant occasion, I was loitering about the house, as young people are wont to do, when I overheard my mother and my father talking. My father, you may remember, was a professor of religion. He was discussing with my mother this and that about a fellow named Martin Luther. Martin Luther said this, Martin Luther said that. I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it never did. So finally, in frustration, I said, King! And they both looked at me in surprise. I beg your pardon, my mother said. I said, King, King. The man's name was Martin Luther King. Why do you keep saying Martin Luther? My father commenced to laugh. My mother, the light dawning in her eyes, said with amused patience, No, dear, there was someone named Martin Luther, too. In fact, Martin Luther King was named after him. Oh, I said sheepishly, I didn't know that. Martin Luther may have been a big deal at one time, but I had never heard of him. Not long ago, a similar thing happened at my school. I was talking to a colleague about the Gospel of Luke, and a kid overheard us, but just heard the word Luke. Skywalker, the kid said? No, I said, the apostle, laughing. The kid gave me a blank stare. What's an apostle, he said. At this, my colleague and I exchanged an ironic glance. What indeed? Our tendency when we hear stories like this is to bemoan the ill-informed youth. That, of course, was behind the knowing glance that my colleague and I shared when our student revealed his stunning naivete regarding the Bible. But it is, of course, not in the least bit surprising that for kids, and actually for all of us, the name Luke conjures images of the Star Wars trilogy long before it has anything to do with the Bible. We are creatures of our time. We frame our understanding around the things we know, things and people who are active in our lives now. Maybe there's a sale down at the tractor supply. Or maybe Kate is not getting along with Megan. Or maybe the Patriots lost the last two. Or maybe, in a fit of pique, the president shut down the government for Christmas. These are the stuff of headlines. These are the faces on the celebrity rags at the checkout counter. Whether or not we are paying attention, we cannot help but be influenced by the fascinations and fads of our time. We are bombarded. This is what we are paying attention to. Not some guy who lived over on the other side of the planet more than 2,000 years ago. But wait. One of the things that gets a lot of attention in our culture is Christmas. Christmas is a big deal. I Googled Christmas spending statistics, and in less than 1 minute, I found this blurb on a site called Statista. Christmas is typically the largest economic stimulus for many nations around the world, as sales increase dramatically in almost all retail areas. The United States retail industry generated over $3 trillion US dollars during the holidays in 2013. These holiday sales reflected 19% of the retail industry's total sales for the year. As a result, just over 768,000 employees were hired throughout the United States to compensate for the holiday rush. $3 trillion in retail sales. It doesn't matter if you are a man or a woman, religious or atheist, white or black. You could be from the bayous of New Orleans or the prodigious mountaintops of New Hampshire. Everyone agrees that Christmas is a big deal. It's not passé. It's not old news. It's now. But Christmas would not be Christmas without Luke. Not Luke Skywalker, but Luke the Apostle. Luke was the one of the gospel writers who told us all about the birth narratives. And Luke, too, was a product of his times. Just in the same way as our politicians and celebrities use our technology to tweet out messages, Luke used the technology of his time, ink on papyrus, to make his record. And while the President of the United States can reach 55 million followers in an instant by sending out his tweets, it is worth wondering if Trump's technology, our technology, is better than Luke's. It's faster, that's for sure. But does it reach more people? Is it as permanent? Is it as influential? In spite of Trump's extraordinary power to make or break companies' stock values with a single tweet, despite his ability to fire people and make huge geopolitical decisions, like pulling out of Syria with a single tweet, I would argue that his power pales in comparison to the ink scratchings that some fellow 2,000 years ago made on a piece of broken, flattened reed. Luke may not have had a Wi-Fi connection. He may not have had an email distribution list or a cloud backup, but he had something far greater than all of that. He had the truth. When I looked over the reading for today, the reading from the Gospel according to, you guessed it, Luke, I remembered that this passage, which is a kind of blessing that comes from the mouth of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, this passage is another one of those biblical passages that is so well known and so influential that it has its own name, like the Magnificat or the Transfiguration or the Beatitudes. This one is called the Benedictus, so named because the first words of the passage, "Blessed be the God, the Lord God of Israel," is written in Latin, "Benedictus Dominus Deus Israel." And it is here, in the words of old Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, that we hear for the first time in the Gospel of Luke the reason why Christ has come into the world. "And you, child," Zechariah says to his son, "will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of sins." The reason why, I believe, Luke's 2,000-year-old ink scratchings on papyrus have such remarkable power is because they are old, because they are slow, and because they demand something of us. Our religious tradition is involved in the practice of preserving old words, We are in the practice of transforming their meaning into our circumstances and transforming our circumstances to their meaning. Through the mouth of old Zechariah, Luke was telling us something that continues to challenge us to this day. He was telling us that we are blessed, but that the blessing that God gives us is not power over our enemies. Luke tells us that John the Baptist will introduce us to a knowledge of salvation. And what is this knowledge of salvation? Is it the ability to wield power? No. Is it the wealth to buy anything you want? No. Is it a diversified 401k? No. Is it a new car with heated seats and a sunroof? Well, that would be nice, but no. The knowledge of salvation is as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. That's why we are in the practice here in this church of preserving it against all odds. The knowledge of salvation is the forgiveness of sins. God forgives us, and we in turn forgive, as we might imitate the ways of truth. By tender mercy of our God, Zechariah concludes, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the ways of peace. Amen.